Okay, let's welcome our Ohai Torah members. Baruchim Abaim. Okay, Rabotai, welcome. It's Wednesday at 10:15. That's the time that we allot in order to study the Pirkei Tehillim. This is Shi'urim that are given the Eilu Nishmat, the Tzadeket, Mrs. Lily Meddeb, Le'a Bat Virgine, Le'a Lily Bat Virgine, Ruach Hashem Tenihena, Began Eden, Amen. Traditionally, we've been going through the chapters Keseder, more or less. But however, whenever we get to a Hag, so we like to try to find a connection between the Shi'ur of the Tehillim to the upcoming Hag. So we're able to fulfill two things at the same time. Limud Tehillim, Began Hachana, the Hag. Well, obviously, we're a few days before Hagapurim. Shiavua alinu l'tova, Tavshin Pe Aleph. Today's Wednesday. Already tomorrow night, we'll be reading Megillat Esther. So, I thought to study a chapter that's nogeya to Purim. Now, the obvious chapter that we should have done is chapter Chaf Bet, which is the Mizmor that we read on Purim. However, that is not the chapter that I chose. I chose to do today chapter 136. So if you open up your books, it's a famous one. This is the chapter that begins, Hodu l'Adonai ki tov, ki le'olam hasto. And the chapter, actually every pasuk, gives a praise of God and then says, "Ki le'olam hasto," that your kindness is forever. There's actually 26 pesukim in this chapter. Hachamim will tell us, as we'll see, it's keneged the Shem Yud Ke Vav Ke, 26. As a matter of fact, some of the mefarshim, I think the Shlach Kadosh said, that when you read the chapter, you should have kavanah, the first 10 pesukim is keneged Shem Yud, and the next 5 pesukim is keneged He, and then the last, whatever, the 6 pesukim is keneged the Vav, and the last 5 pesukim is keneged the He. Okay, you should mechaven the Yud Ke Vav Ke in the chapter. The chapter is also called Halel HaGadol, as opposed to Halel HaMitzri. There's two Halels that we have in the Tehillim book. Earlier on, we have the Halel HaMitzri, that's the Halel that we say on the Hagim, on Rosh Chodesh, Beset Yisrael Mitzrayim, Beit Yaakov Mamloez. That's the Halel that commemorates Mitzrayim. This, however, is called Halel HaGadol. We have to explain why is it called Halel HaGadol. I could explain it based on what we just said, that since there's 26 Pesukim, and that's Shemo HaGadol, that's the God's great name, Yudke Vavke, so therefore the remez is Halel HaGadol. Now, I just want to say some derashot before we get into the depth of this chapter. One of the Pesukim would be Pasuk Dalet, for example, where we say, Le'osen Niflaot Gedolot Lebado. What does that mean? That God does wonders, great wonders, alone. Lebado. What does it mean, alone? What is the pshat in lebado? So Rashi HaKadosh over here says, Barishon lo nivrach malach kishasa'an leniflaot alalu. Which is when God created the heavens and the earth, there was nobody there. There wasn't even angels created yet. So therefore, le'oseh niflaot gedolot lebado. Hashem created the world when he was alone. There was nobody there, which means this is a remez that God is the first, Ani Rishon. The Hatam Sofer, in a famous derash, explained it, that when Bil'am stood on the mountain to curse Bnei Yisrael, well, he knew that he was cursing, and Balak knew that he was cursing, but Bnei Yisrael did not know. Bnei Israel did not know at all that they were in any sort of danger when Bil'am was cursing them. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, stymied the plan of Bil'am and instead came out Berachot. They didn't know that they were being cursed. They didn't know that they were in a very great danger and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a miracle to save them. So how did they find out about it after? When Moshe Rabbeinu was giving them the Torah and he started to teach them Parashat Balak, they said, we never heard this story. What are you talking about? Who's Bil'am? Yeah, it was a guy who was on a mountain. He was cursing you. You don't know what Hashem did for you. They said, well, Shtabach Shemo. So the Hatam Sofer said, a lot of the miracles that happen, only Hashem knows about them. We don't know about them until later on. He's the only one that knows about it, which means we only find out about it till later on. But when the miracle is happening, it's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like it would happen, you know, if God forbid we had stories in Eretz Yisrael when these terrorists, you know, were planning these attacks against Klal Yisrael. And then all of a sudden, before it even came out to fruition, the bomb blew up in the guy's garage and he dies. And we didn't even know that we were in danger and we didn't know that it blew up. Only much later on we find out that the sakana. So therefore, sometimes God does great wonders, but lebado, he's alone. Which really we have to appreciate. The Zohar Kadosh on this chapter, we have to give a really Hazak Baruch to Mr. Eli Cohen, Yishmere Wael, and his wife Rina and the whole family. They printed recently the Matok Midvash Tehillim, which is the Tehillim al-Pi HaZohar. All the different pieces of Zohar. They wrote a book here that has all the pieces explained. Ashrav Ashrech Al-Kor. It's really a great publication, and it should bring them tremendous hatzlacha. I have no doubt it will. Anyway, on this, the Zohar HaKadosh says, Le'osen niflaot gedolot lebado ki le'olam hazdo. He says, Kama tibu avid kudsha berichu im b'nei nasha. How many kindnesses does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do with B'nai Adam, the people? How many miracles happen to a human being every single day? The only one that knows about it is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Zohar gives an example. Banash kam b'tzafra. A guy gets up in the morning. And there's a snake that's on the other side of the room or on the other side of the road that's coming after him. And as the guy's walking, without him knowing it, he stepped on the snake's head and he killed the snake. He doesn't know that he killed the snake. He doesn't know that the snake was supposed to kill him. He doesn't know what happened. Except for Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it means. Like the Gemara says, Afilu ba'al hanes eno makir beniso. That even the recipient of a miracle is not aware of the miracle that happened. You know, we know today from science how many viruses are in the air, God forbid. How many microbes are in the air. When a person breathes, he could be breathing in something else that could be dangerous for him. So he doesn't know the miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, that when he's breathing, all of a sudden that microbe moves to the right or moves to the left, or somehow he bypasses it. Something else happens where he's actually saved. That's why in the Modim Derabbanan, we say every day, Ba'al Nisecha Shebechol Yom Imanu. We're thanking God for the daily miracles. God might say to himself, we're talking about, there's no daily miracles. God didn't split the sea for us. We didn't have the 10 plagues. No, there's daily miracles that only God is aware of. But we're aware of at least that something's going on behind the scenes. So therefore we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Nifla'ot Gedolot that are actually Lebado. If we had to explain it according to the Kabbalistic explanation, there's a Shem that a Kadosh Baruch Hu uses sometimes to do miracles, and that's called the Shem Membet. It's the name of God of 42 letters, which comes from the abbreviation of the letters of Anna Bechowah, the seven lines of Anna Bechowah. So the Bein Ish Chai says in his Perush, Leosen Niflaot Gedolot. And how does he do it? Lebado. Lebado is Gematria 42. So therefore he uses the Shem Membet in order to make the miracles. So that's one famous pasuk. I saw brought down also by the Bein Ish Chai. The Bein Ish Chai Well, let's go in order. If you go to the Pasuk, Pasuk Yud, Lemakem Mitzrayim Bibchorehem Ki Leolam Hasdo. The Rashi over here is based on Rashi. Rashi makes an observation. Over here, it doesn't say the Makem Mitzrayim Bechorehem. It should say God smote the firstborns. Means the firstborns on Leil Yitziat Mitzrayim, Tedvav, Nisan, they got smitten at the strike of midnight. So it should say the Makem Mitzrayim. And how did God Makem Mitzrayim? Bechorehem. But it says Bibchorehem. Bibchorehem is the Makkah was from the Bechorot. Make up your mind. Was the Makkah to the Bechorot or was the Makkah from the Bechorot? Bibchorehem is with the Bechorot. So Rashi on the place says, Bechorehem lo ne'emar ela Bibchorehem amdu Bechorot v'kepehu shokan shel abihem. There was a civil war that broke out between the firstborns and their parents. Hame'akevim b'Yisrael kesheshamu nega asirim epi Moshe. When they heard the 10th plague from Moshe Rabbeinu, the firstborns believed that it was going to happen. There's no reason they shouldn't believe it. The first, after all, the first 9 came true. So therefore, their parents were telling them, don't worry. They said, it's easy for you to say, don't worry, you're not a Bechor. We're firstborns, we don't want to die. Let the Jews go. And the parents said, no, we're not letting them go. So a civil war broke out between the firstborns and their parents. So the Makem Mitzrayim Bibchorehim, the Makab Mitzrayim was from the firstborns, not only to the firstborns. And we explained once, that's why if you learn in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, when they say the ten plagues, they say, Dam, Sefardeya, Kinim. What do they call the last plague? Makat Bechorot. Makat Bechorot, it's the Makah that the Bechorot gave to the Egyptians. That's why they put the word Makah before it. Makat Bechorot. It's not only referring to that the firstborns died. It's the Makah of the Bechorot that they killed their fathers. So that's Pshat the Pasuk. Lemekim Mitzrayim Bebchorehem. You want to go to Yud Gima. Again, I'm just giving you a flavor of some of the classic derashot that they say on this chapter. Legozer Yamsuf Ligzarim. That's important to know. That misunderstanding by many of the people that don't know, that they talk about the splitting of the sea. They think that the sea split in half. A part of their mistake is because they got corrupted by watching the movie, The Ten Commandments. And over there, clearly the movie was not based on Hazal. It was based on, the Torah of Hollywood, not the Torah Emet. And as a result, they split the sea in half. Clearly that is not true. David HaMelech says in his Tehillim here, Ligozer Yamsuf, when God split the sea, Ligzarim. Ligzarim is plural. It was split into many gezarim, many lanes, many roads. Rashi HaKadosh again, Shenem Asar Kiraim. There was 12 lanes in Kiryat Yamsuf, Lishnem Asar Shevatim. So each tribe actually got their own lane. Like we say every night in Tefillat Arbit, HaMa'abir Banav Ben Gizrei Yamsuf. Gizrei Yamsuf is over here referring to this, Ligozer Yamsuf, Ligzarim. I did see a nice dirasha in the Tehillim called Kene Hamida. That is written by Hacham Moshe Dweck HaKohen, who was one of the great rabbis in Aram Soba Halab. So recently, one of our members actually gave me the sefer of this Tehillim of this rabbi. And he has on this pasuk, and he says like this, the Jewish people could not go across the Yamsuf until they took Brit Milah a week before. They couldn't eat Korban Pesach until they took Brit Milah. And therefore, he reads the Pasuk, Legozer Yamsuf Ligzarim, he says, Al tekre Ligzarim ela legizurim. Gizurim is the ones that got cut. That not only the sea split, the sea was cut only because Klal Yisrael were gazur, which means they took the Brit Milah a week before. So that would be the derash on that. Good. Let's see what else we have over here. We have over here, if we go later on. All right, let's go to Pasuk Chav Gimel. I'm just giving you some classics. Shebishiflenu zachar lanu. What does that mean? When we were at the lowest point, shebishiflenu, at the time of our shiflut. Shiflut means we were down. When was that? As she says, b'mitzrayim. At that point, what happened? Zachar lanu. You remembered us. And that's the way the Mefarshim explain it. God remembered us even though we were downtrodden as slaves. But again, Rabbi Moshe Dweka Kohen explains this beautifully based on the Gemara that says that there's different methods if a person tries to have a boy. Sometimes they want to have a boy. So the Gemara says that Isha Mazra'at Techila, that if the lady receives the zera first before the man, so then that's a way to bring boys. Isha Mazra'at Techila. So when a person is having tashmish, he has to control his own ta'ava in order to humble himself that his wife should receive the zera first. That if she's mazriya first. So therefore, he says, shebishiflenu, that when a person humbles himself, that gives the ta'abat to his wife first, zachar lanu. Then you have a zachar. Then you have a baby boy. So that's a nice derasha as well. Ki le'olam hasdo. Lastly, I will go to pasuk chapeh. Noten lechem lekol basar. Ki le'olam hasdo. And if you remember, we've said this in several different shiurim, but now just to have it on record for the Tehillim class, I will tell you that we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has different Shemot that are connected to Parnasa. The Gemara actually thought to say in Berachot that we should say this chapter every day because it's similar to Ashrei that we have the Pasuk Poteh et Yadecha Masbi'a Lekol Hay Ratzon, which talks about that God gives us Parnasa. Well, this chapter also has a beautiful pasuk, Noten Lechem Lekol Basar. The Gemara, for whatever reason, decided that Ashrei is better than saying this chapter for whatever reason, Ayin Sham. But we did point out that one of the holy names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's a key, I would tell you, it's actually a mafteyah for Parnasa, is the Shem Hatach. That's the Shem Het Taf, Chaf, which actually is the final letters of the words Poteach et Yadecha. Poteach is a chet, et is a taf, Yadecha is a chaf. And we have this Shem, whenever you're going to see Pesukim that have to do with Parnasa, that Shem is going to be somewhere, in the codes of the letters. Well, no exception here, Rabotai. Noten lechem lechol basar. If you look at the second letters, Noten is a taf, lechem is a chet, and lechol is a chaf. And then with the second letters, it also spells Shem Hatach, which is an interesting kavanah that you can have when you say this chapter, that for you can be mechaven to Shem Hatach, and that's the inyan of the parnasa. Okay, so that is that. That's the basic understanding. Now, you're going to ask me, Hazaku Baruch Haimi, you're going to ask me, Rabbi, what does this have to do with Purim? Why did you choose this chapter with Purim? So I found a wonderful, exceptional derasha in the Sefer called Magid HaRakia of Rabbi Gladstein. Yishmereu V'chayehu is a young but brilliant Tamid Hakam that has very, very sweet derashot. And I have his sefer. Praise to our good friend Yonatan Dagmi Yishmeru Wa'el that makes sure to always get me the Rabbi Sefarim whenever they come out. Baruch Hashem, he's able to provide them for me. Anyway, in his talks on Purim, he has a reference to the Gemara that we know already in Masechet Chulin on page Kuflam Mitet. The Gemara over there asks, Haman min haTorah minayin. You know, where is Haman's name mentioned in the Torah? Now, I don't know why we need to have Haman's name mentioned in the Torah. His name is mentioned enough times in Megillat Esther. And I think what the Gemara is asking is, where in the Torah do we see a lesson about Haman, or the essence of Haman, or some sort of limud from Haman? Anyway, the Gemara says, we found them all the way back in the book of Bereshit, when the Pasuk says, after Adam and Eve ate from the tree, so God comes to them and says, Hamin ha'etz. Oh, Hamin. Hamin is the same letters as Haman. We found him. Where is he? He's in the tree. He's in the tree house. He's hanging out. Now, the simple explanation is that that's what we found him, to tell us that already the Torah was telling us at the beginning. Hamin ha'etz. You know where Haman belongs? On the ha'etz. And that's where he ended up. Haman ended up getting hung on the tree. So there's a name is already from the beginning of time of Hamin ha'etz. And I'm sure there's many other connections between the chet of Etz HaDa'at and Haman. One day, Bezat Hashem will try to explain how what happened in the times of Queen Esther was actually a tikkun to chet Etz HaDa'at, and therefore Haman is min ha'etz. There must be a connection. Not for today, Rabotai. Now, I have a running joke in our house on Leil Seder. When we're singing the Dayenu, so we read all the different things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us, you know, from taking out us Mitzrayim, giving us the Torah, ultimately taking us to Eretz Yisrael, u'banalan with Beit HaBechira. Now, in the interim of that Dayenu, we say, Ilu natan lanu et Haman, velo natan lanu et HaShabbat, Dayenu. So I stop there at the Seder, every Aser Rabotai. Tonight is Leil Pesach. Why are we mentioning Haman on Pesach? What does Haman got to do with Pesach? And of course, you know, the first year I caught them. First year, hey, good question. The second year already, they said that we know this trick. That Haman is not referring to Haman the Rasha. That's referring to the man that fell from the heaven. So we're saying, Ilu natan lanu et Haman, that's the Haman, that's the food, the lechem, min ha-shamayim. Good. So I always thought that's a joke. Until I see over here a sefer called Lehorot Natan. I have this copy of Lehorot Natan over here. It's in Chelek Bet, on a little paragraph that he has. He has actually a little piece of the Kavanot of the second day of Pesach. What are the Kavanot that you should have on the second day of Pesach? Okay, it's coming up, Rabotai, so now you'll know the Kavanot. So he says, Ve'amru Hazal, Haman min ha'Torah minayin, sh'ne'emar min ha'etz, u'pirush Rashi, sh'netle al ha'etz. Aval v'sefer ha'tishbi, he quotes a sefer called Sefer ha'tishbi, l'Rabbi Eliyahu Bahur. This is a rabbi that lived in the 1500s. He was known to be a big Tamir Acham, he was a grammarian, and he wrote somebody. So in that sefer called Tishbi, he has a different girsa in that Gemara. He has the girsa, the different text. Haman min ha'Torah minayin. How do we know Haman? Where is Haman from the Torah? Shnei emar v'ya'achilecha et Haman. That God fed us the man. So look at this, Rabotai. I wasn't that far off. According to this girsa, the Gemara actually is making a play on the word Haman, which is the food from the Shamayim. Although it's clearly not Haman Narasha, but they're saying that's where he is. I guess, by the way, if you could say Hamin Ha'etz, which is also not Haman, but it's the same letters, so just like you could say Hamin Ha'etz, you could say Ve'yachilecha et Haman. Umevo'ar, Shedorshin et Haman leHaman. The Doresh, the man that fell, to, as if the man of Haman. Val Pizeh, he says something beautiful. He says, when the Jewish people came out of Mitzrayim, so we came out with the man. No, I'm sorry, we came with the man. We came out with food that we had with us. So the Pasuk says, that's true, when we came into Eretz Yisrael, exactly. When we came into Eretz Yisrael in the times of Yehoshua ben Nun, we still had some provisions with us from the Midbar. And then they ran out, and then we had to start eating the regular food of Eretz Yisrael, as it says in the book of Yehoshua, Perek Gimel. The pasuk says, "Vayochlu me'avur ha'aretz me'machorat ha'pesach." The day after Pesach, the second day of Pesach, that's when they started to eat from the fruits of the land. Vayishbot haman me'machorat, because that's the day that the man stopped coming down for them. They ran out of the man. So therefore, they had to eat from the fruit of Eretz Yisrael. So says the Rav, we know from the Megillah which day was Haman HaRasha killed on. Which day was he hung? He was hung on the second day of Pesach. So therefore, when the pasuk says Vayishbot Haman Memachorat, we can learn Vayishbot Melashon Tashbitu. He was destroyed. And therefore, it's not only saying that the man ceased to fall, but there's a remez, Vayishbot Haman b'machorat. V'haremez de Haman hushbat v'ne'evad min ha'olam, uken tashbitu se'or mebatechem b'machorat ha'pesach. Hu tetzayin nisan. Beautiful. So therefore, he starts to use this derasha that there's a connection between the man that falls and Haman arasha. He has a side point. I'll just point it out to you quickly. According to Rashi, Rashi says that Haman was hung on Tet Zayin Nisan at night. So he says, L'chaura, Tet Zayin Nisan at night is Yud Zayin. So therefore, it's not really the second day of Pesach, it's the third day. So he says, no, because by Goyim, the night goes after the day. So therefore, Tet Zayin Nisan at night, for them at least, is considered Tet Zayin. And therefore, he comes along and he says, from the Magen Avraham, that quotes the Shla in Siman Taf Tzadi, La'asot biyom sheni shel Pesach b'su'uda zecher l'su'udat Esther, shebayom ahu nitla Haman. He says, on the second day of Pesach, when you have your su'uda, you should have an extra, you know, a kavanah to remember today is the day that Haman got destroyed. Haman got killed. So the second day of Pesach, whenever we're in the synagogue, we usually make a derasha. When we're here in giving a derasha on Pesach, usually on the second day of Yom Tov, which is the second day, the 16th, we usually talk about Purim. And all our members say, Rabbi, what are you talking about Purim? Because the second day of Pesach is connected to Purim. That's when the Nes of Purim happened. The Av Shenitle Balayla, Nechshav Shenitle Bayom Tetzayin, Hainu Bayom Sheni Shel Pesach. Okay, I'll talk about it. So that's already the Anush of Rabbi Eliyahu Bahur. There was a rabbi called the Rokeyah, Rabbi Elazar Megarmizia. He's one of the early Rishonim, and he has tremendous derashot in the Sefer called Rokeyah. If you get your hands on the book, very, very, very precious, precious Sefer, the Rokeyah. One of our members from Muncie offered me this sefer, the Rokeyah, recently when I was speaking there. He gave it the Rokeyah ala Torah, a beautiful Jay Greenfield, great tzaddik in Muncie. He gave me these seferim, and I'm very appreciative of it. I use it a lot. Anyway, the Rokeyah says something like this. He counted how many pesukim are in Megillat Esther. And he counted 166 pesukim. Okay. By the way, you see over here, the Gemara calls the Hachamim Sofrim. Why are they called Sofrim? Not because they're scribes, because they count. Now you would say, what are you wasting time for counting? Well, a lot of our members, they spend a lot of time counting their money, counting their valuables. So to the Hachamim, the Torah was more precious than the money. So therefore, they would count every word. They want to know how many, what is this asset worth? How much? How many letters are there? So they count the 166 Pesukim in Megillat Esther. He says, it's the same amount of words in the two parashiyot that we read about Amalek. We're going to read on Purim Day, at the end of Beshalach, Vayavo Amalek. In those nine Pesukim, there's 119 words. We just read on Shabbat, Parashat Zachor, three Pesukim at the end of Parashat Ki Tetze, Zachor et Asher Asa Lecha Amalek, which has 47 words. So 119 plus 47 equals exactly 166. Tremendous coincidence that the 166 Pesukim of Megillat Esther that talk about the downfall of Amalek is exactly the amount of words that we have in the two parashiot in the Torah, Vayavo, Amalek, and Zachor. 166 connected 166. That is incredible. But then he comes along and he says, there's also another place in the Torah that we have 166 words. And that is the chapter that we're reading today in the Tehillim. He says, chapter Kuf Lam Midvav, which we call Halel HaGadol, also has 166 words. Hazak Baruch, Keneged Megillat Esther, Keneged Amalek. So obviously the Rokeach saw somewhere in this chapter, Purim, because he's saying it's the same DNA, it's the same number, 166, 166. So there must be a Kesher. He tells you the Kesher. He says, because what was Haman called? Haman was called Ish Sar Ve'oyev. So if you look at the Pesukim at the end, what does it say? Vayifrekenu Mitzarenu. That Hashem brought a Purkan. He saved us from what? Mitzarenu. Who's Sarenu? Ish Sar Ve'oyev. Haman Ara Azeh. And then after he saved us, we have the mitzvah of what? Seudat Purim. Noten lechem nechol basar, which is the next pasuk. So therefore, one leads to the other. Ve'yifrakenu mitzarenu, and then noten lechem nechol basar represents seudat Purim. Therefore, there's a nevus of Purim in the chapter. That's the kavanah you'd have at the end. So he goes on to explain that there might be a deeper connection between Megillat Esther, Haman, Amalek, and the chapter that we have over here. Of course, for Yifrekenu Mitzarenu, there's nothing to talk, that's for sure. But there might be a deeper explanation. So we all know, Rabbotai, that there's a Kavanah that we have in the Tefillah every single day, in Ahavat Olam. The Magen Avraham brings it down in Siman Samech, from the Arizal, that you should have this kabana. When we say at the end of Ahavat Olam, V'keraftanu Malkenu L'shemcha HaGadol, we talk about God's name being Shemcha HaGadol, big name. So the Arizal said, what's the kabana when you say V'keraftanu Malkenu L'shemcha HaGadol? He says there you should have kabana that we're praying for the destruction of Amalek, for his ultimate erasure. And when that happens, then God's name is going to be complete again, and it will be Gadol. Like we say, until Amalek is destroyed, so the name of God, Kivyachol, is incomplete. Like it says, Kiyad al-Kesiya. As long as there's Milchama ba'Amalek, La'ashem ba'Amalek, the name of God is Yudke. We say in the Kaddish, Yitkadal v'yitkadal Shemer Rabba. Shemer Rabba is Shem Yah Rabba. We want the name of Yah to become great. When is that going to be? When we destroy Amalek. Then God's name is going to be V'keraftanu Malkenu L'shemcha Gadol. Then the name of God will be Gadol at the time of Mechiyat Amalek. If you remember in the parasha that we read this week in the Haftarah, we read about the story of Shaul going out and waging war against Amalek. And if you remember, when he came back and he brought back Agag. Anyway, if you look in the Pesukim over there, in Perek Yudbet, Pasuk Chabet, so Shemuel HaNavi says, Ki lo yitosh Adonai et amo ba'abur shemo hagadol. Shmuel promises God will never leave his nation. Ba'abur Shemo HaGadol. On account of his great name. Ki yu'il Hashem la'asot etchem lo le'am, because God began, or he chose us to become his nation. So the great rabbi called Yehuda Ya'aleh, he is one of the rabbis from Damascus. He wrote a sefer called Yehuda Ya'aleh, Rabbi Yehuda Chaim HaKohen. He says a beautiful derasha in this pasuk. He says that Shmuel was saying that even though we didn't kill Amalek over here, but don't worry, ki lo yitosh Hashem amo, because it's not going to leave us. Ba'avur Shmuel Gadol, which means because he wants his name to become Gadol, therefore ultimately Amalek is going to be destroyed. And which letters of God's name is missing? Vavke. The Vavke is missing. And it says that God's chair is also not complete. Kiyad al Kesya. Instead of saying Kise, it says Kes. So which three letters are missing? The letters Vavhe from Yudke Vavke, and the letter Aleph from Kise. My Rabbi Acham Baruch used to say over from the Maharsha, Ki Bahar Adonai B'Siyon, that when God is going to choose Siyon, when he builds the Beit HaMikdash, Iva Lemoshavlo. The letters Iva, Aleph, Vav, He, Lemoshavlo, he will put them back in their place. The Aleph will be put back in Kes, and the Vav, He will be put back in the Shem Yudke Vavke. Iva Lemoshavlo. I heard from Rabbi Shlomo Amar, Chief Rabbi of Jerusalem, Shmirei Wa'el. He said that we say every day in V'yatziv V'nachon, after the Kiryat Shema, Hu Kayam, Ushmo Kayam, V'chis'o Nachon. He said, Hu is He, Vav, Aleph, is the three letters that we're missing. So he said, Hu Kayam, when we get the Hu back, what's going to happen? Ushmo Kayam, then God's name will be complete, V'chis'o Nachon, and his chair will be complete. So therefore, it's going on both things. Hu Kayam, Ushmo Kayam, V'chis'o Nachon. So Rabbi Yehuda Ya'aleh said that the prophet Shmuel said, Ki lo yitosh Adonai amo, ba'abur Shemo Agadol, ki ho'il Hashem. He says, ho'il is otiyot, he, vav, aleph, which is the three letters that we're missing, and then yud, lamed stands for li. Ho'il is otiyot li, hu. God says that when I destroy Amalek ultimately, li, to me, I am going to get the hu. Ho'il, li, hu. I'm going to get the three letters that we're going to be missing. Oh, based on this, Rabotai, we understand a Gemara in Pesachim. We didn't get to it yet in the Daf Yomi. We're going to get to it. And then you remember this Derasha. Gemara Pesachim is on page 118. So the Gemara says over there, Ve'lama nikra shemo halel gadol. This chapter is called Halel gadol. It's not so gadol, by the way. It's only 26 Pesukim. So if you remember in the beginning of today's Tirasha, I told you, it could be called Kalel HaGadol, because precisely because of that. Because it's 26 Pesukim, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu's holy name is Shem Yudke Vavke, so therefore they call it Halel HaGadol, to merames to you that the Shem HaKadosh is in this chapter. But the Gemara Pesachim says something else. V'lamma nekra Shemu Halel HaGadol, Amar B'Yuhanan, Mepenesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yoshev, ברומו של עולם, ומחלק מזונות לכל בריאה. Where do you see the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? שמו הגדול, the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that he supplies parnasa and מזונות to all his creation. That is a wondrous thing. We explained once, what does it mean the word גדול? גדול represents, the Gaon Mevilna said, something that is very high, but very low at the same time. A tree is gadol. It's high, but it also has its roots that are low. That's, we use the word gadol. As opposed to the word, for example, ram, that the Gaon Mevilna explains to mean something that is high, but is not low. For example, the clouds. The clouds are ram. They're in the heaven, but they're not on earth. And therefore, he explained the Pasuk to Gaon, Adonai b'Sion Gadol. To the Jewish people, we say God is Gadol. He's in heaven, but his Hashkaha, his divine providence is on earth. V'ram hu al kol ha-goyim. V'ram hu al kol ha-amim. To the goyim, God is Ram. He's in heaven. He's high, but he's not low. We believe that God is also a mashpili lirot. He lowers himself to look down. That's why whenever you use the word Gadol, Gadol represents that God is not only in the heavens, Al Hashamayim Kibodo, but God also is a Mashpini L'Ra'ot Bashamayim. God looks down from heaven. Gadol represents the Hashkaha. So the Gemara says, Halel Gadol is called that because in this chapter we talk about Noten Lechem Lechol Basar. God gives, it is that Pasuk that gives Halel its name. Because God is giving Panasat to everybody. What does that mean? That God knows the plight and the needs of all his creatures. If God was just Ram in heaven, so he doesn't know what's going on earth. So people would, where are they going to get Parnassah? But here it says, no, God is Gadol. His presence is in heaven, but his Hashkaha is on earth. He gives Parnassah to every creature, not only human beings, every single animal. Abotai, just think for a second, the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If a person is having company, you're having 100 people over for Purim, how much preparation you have to do? How much you have to go buy? Just for one Seudah. And go ask your wives how much preparation goes into just making sure that for one Seudah, the people are satisfied. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is feeding billions and billions and billions of creatures every day, all day, from the beginning of the creation. He's catering the whole world, Seudot, from beginning. And then, of course, it's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We only know how Hashem gives us our Parnassah, and we all know the miracle of the Parnassah. And that represents, the Gemara says in Pesachim, why it's called Gadol. And the reason the Gemara says it's Ki Le'olam Chasto, because we know that the Torah was not given until G26. From the creation of the world, it took 26 generations before the Torah was given. Let's review it. From Adam to Noah is 10 generations. From Noah to Abraham is 10 generations. From Abraham to Moshe is 6 generations. So therefore, we had to wait 26 generations without the zechut of Torah. And God still sustained the world with Parnassah, even without the zechut of the Torah. And that's why there's 26 Pesukim, connected to 26 generations before Matan Torah, that God was Mefanes and Zan, the entire world. That already you see an extra key Le'olam Hasto. That after Matan Torah, it's still a chesed. At least we have a zechut of Torah. But before Matan Torah, that's a tremendous chesed, the Gemara says as well. Fine. Halel Gadol. So he comes along, the Rav, and he says something beautiful. What is the inyan of Haman Rasha? What's the inyan of Haman Rasha? Haman Rasha is loyal to the philosophy of his grandfather. His grandfather was Amalek, the original. And the Torah we read on Shabbat about Amalek is what? Asher Karecha. Karecha means he cools us off. Amalek is the one that comes along and says, there's no divine providence. Everything is happenstance. Everything is chance. If you went out to make business and you happen to get a good deal, you got lucky that day. It's got nothing to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amalek comes along and says, if there's God, he's in the heavens. But don't think that God knows what's going on earth, which means that's why Amalek goes against the inyan of God as Gadol. That's what it means when we say if they break Hashem's name. Let me say it deeper. The name Yudke Vavke, the Mekubalim explain, is Rashi Tevot. Yudke Vavke stands for what? Yismechu Hashamayim Vetagel Haaretz. What does that mean? Yudke means Yismechu Hashamayim, God's glory is in heaven. Vavke means what? Vetagel Haaretz. Which, what? That God's glory is on earth. Which two letters are missing as long as Amalek is around? The Vavke. Amalek comes along and takes away the Vetagel Haaretz. They say, yeah, if there's Hashem, he's in the heavens. But he's got nothing to do with earth. When we come along and say that we want Hashem's name to be Gadol again, Gadol is the Pshat Vetagel Haaretz, that we come along and say that Hashem is on earth. And what's the proof, by the way? What's one of our proofs? Everybody knows the miracle how we make Parnassah. How often does it happen? A person needs a certain Parnassah, and we pray to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and all of a sudden, Borei Olam brings the beracha to the person. So from the Parnassah that a person makes, we see the Hashkaha. A guy has to pay a bill, and it's coming up too. You don't know how many times people come to me, they have to make a bar mitzvah, or they have to make a wedding, and all of a sudden a check that they weren't expecting to get. Hey, you told me, people told me stories of checks that they didn't expect to get. But when they needed it, bing, the check came all of a sudden. I have stories as well that when I was making simachot and I was short, and all of a sudden people came with certain funds that they, oh, we owe you this. I gave up on it already. No, I decided, now you decided to pay me. Borei Olam is not sitting there. He knows exactly what he's doing. And you see the hashkaha clearly in Pera. Those businessmen that go to work, they see it on a clearly a daily basis, the divine providence. You see the name of a Kadosh Baruch Hu Gadol, specifically in the Parnasa, in the Midbar, for sure. If you lived in the Midbar, which we didn't, you see the man coming down every day. The man came down every day exactly what they needed, a miracle of miracles. Can anybody deny that Hashem is not Mashkiach Betachtonim, that God is not watching the earth? Ask yourself a question. How come the man only fell in the Midbar? There was no man in falling in New York City in the times of the Midbar because there were no people living there. Mm-hmm. Nobody needed it. Miracle. Only in the place where the Jews needed it, in the Midbar, that's where. And once they finished in the Midbar, it stopped. What does that show you? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously knows who's where, what their needs are, and it falls exactly in a timely fashion. That's the Nyan of Gadol. Amalek comes along and says, no. Amalek comes along and tries to undo the Inyan of this concept. Oh, so based on this Rabotai, we can understand this chapter. This chapter comes along and says what? Vayifrekenu mitzarenu. What's Vayifrekenu mitzarenu? You saved us from Haman. Isar ve'oyev. Haman's derek is to come and tell us what? Nah, there's no hashkacha. Everybody's on their own. Nothing is divine. Nothing is organized. Nothing is orchestrated from heaven. And we come along and say, no, you're wrong. Noten lechem lekol basar. The fact that God gives us the man, or lechem lechol basar, our parnasa, that's the antithesis of isar ve'oyev. That's why it's called halel gadol. Halel gadol, because God gives us the parnasa, exactly the shame that Haman was trying to undo. And that's why it says, hodo le'el ha-shamayim, that we come under the praise to the God in heaven, that the God in heaven actually has his providence on earth. That God is not only the el ha-shamayim, that we say that God also, ki le'olam hasto, which means, although it's hodo le'el ha-shamayim, but to the olam hasto, his kindness is to the olam, which is below. And therefore, it works perfectly, this chapter. And that's why when it says in the Sefer of Eliyahu Bahur, Haman min ha-Torah minayin, where is Haman from the Torah? Vayachilecha et Haman. That's the antithesis of Haman Rasha. Haman Rasha says, God's name is not Gadol. God's not Mashkiach. And we say, you fool. Vayachilecha et Haman. Lashon nofil al Lashon. It's the same Lashon. God gave us the man. How can you say God's not Mashkiach? How can you say it's a coincidence? How can you say that for 40 years, right, the only time in history when there was millions of Jews in that location, that's the only time the man fell? Besides the fact that the man itself is a miracle. So the man is the proof against Haman Rasha. And again, like we say, v'yifrekenu mitzarenu. And what's the proof of v'yifrekenu mitzarenu? No, ten lechem lechol basar. Therefore, Halela Gadol is the Mizmor of Purim as well. This chapter of Botai is the Mizmor of Purim because it reminds us of the Hashkacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Yiridat Haman is more al Hashkacha Piratit, which exactly Haman's doesn't accept. Based on this, there's a very interesting Gemara. The Gemara says, and we learned this in Yesod V'Sodei Sha'avodah the other day. Rabotai, this is not the only class that we give during the week, this Tehillim, because a lot of other classes that we offer, I recommend that you go on iTorah and listen, because a lot of these classes, they commingle with each other. There's a lot of connections between them. In the previous shurim that we said in Yesod V'Shoresh, we said that they want you, the Gemara asks, why don't we say Halel on Purim? It's Gemara's question in Megillah. It's a holiday. Every holiday there's Halel. So what does the Gemara answer? Kriyata zu Halila. We do say Halel on Purim. The Megillat Esther. The Megillat Esther is the Halel. Side point. The Yesod V'Shoresh Avodah says, what do you mean? There's not one praise in there. The Megillah is a story. There's no praise. How could you call it a Hallel? Where's the praise? There's not one Gadol, Gibon, Nora. No praising. So he says, that's why you have to know, to be Yotzei Megillah correctly, the praise has to be in your heart. That every time you get to one of the fantastic parts of the Megillah, you have to say in your brain, Yishtabach Shemo. You have to add the Hallel. That's the secret ingredient. You must add the Hallel to the Megillah. Because the Gemara says, Kriyata Zu Halilah. Fine. The Me'iri, one of the Rishonim, says, and what if a person cannot read the Megillah on Purim? For whatever reason, he doesn't have a kosher Megillah, he's away. So he says, then you have to read Hallel. Because the Kriyah is to take care of the obligation of Hallel. Now, if you're not going to read the Megillah, you have to say Hallel. Good. So he brings down from a shoot called Knaf Ranana, from Rabbi Natan Nata Landau. So he says, which Hallel? The Me'iri didn't say which Hallel to say. It says you have to say Hallel. So he says Hallel Agadol, which is a tremendous chidush, which means, I mean, l'chaora, I would have said the regular Hallel that we say on the holidays. He writes, the Kavanat Me'iri eno shiyomar Hallel Mitzri, which is the other Hallel, Hallel Gadol. And he writes a bigger chidush, ve'od shegam bimei Mordechai ve'Esther, kodem shetiknu lekroat ha-Megillah, before they made the takanah to read the Megillah, kar'u bepurim Hallel Gadol. How does he know it? The Menhat Yitzhak writes on this and says, I don't know what he's talking about. Where did he get Hallel Gadol? The Chaura, it should be the regular Hallel Mitzri, the regular Hallel of Beset Yisrael Mitzrayim, the regular that we say on the holidays. But based on what we just learned now, that the Rokeya told us there's 166 Pesukim in Megillat Esther, and there's 166 words in this chapter. So you see that these chapters are connected. Therefore, it's either Megillat Esther, 166 Pesukim of those, or the 166 words of Halakha. But not only the connection in the amount of words and Pesukim, the topic. What does that have to do with Purim, you ask? Vayifrekenu mitzarenu, isar ve'oyev. Noten lechem lechot basar. That's the inyan of the man. Haman menatura minayin. Biachilikat haman. Which is the antithesis of the hashkafa. And therefore, noten lechem lechot basar. Hodole la shamayim. Yismichu ha shamayim. Ki leolam hazdo. Vetagei la ares. And therefore, the pesukim, at the end at least, clearly are alluding to the inyan of Purim. So therefore, he wanted to say that if you don't have a Megillah, you should read this. I recommend, Rabotai, once we know this Kavanah, at the Sodat Purim, you should read Halel HaGadol Lefa'ot. Why not? In order to give praise to Kadosh Baruch Hu and say over the Kavanot. Nonetheless, Rabotai, we see another secret that's laid in, not only in the words of the Tehillim, but David HaMelech, look at the Kavanot he had. When he wrote this chapter, he counted the words. It wasn't random. He made sure that this chapter would have 166 words because he knew he had to put it on the same grid as the Megillat Esther. And lucky, like we have a rabbi like the Rokeya that was able to decode. As a matter of fact, the great Manot HaLevi, who's Rabbi Shlomo Elkabetz, he is so amazed by this. He says, at the end of his perush on the Megillah, v'kama sameach libi v'yagel kevodi b'devrei ha-hasid ha-kadosh Rabbi Elazar Megarmiza shefli lichtov gematriyot v'reshumot la'amid devrei rabotenu v're'e ad hecha negiya midat chasiduto l'drosh chasirim u'meleim v'ta'amim nekudot mesparim minyanim v'katab besov ha-Megillah kuf samikvav pesukim ha-Megillah keneged kuf samikvav tevod v'parashat v'yavua. The Manutmi says, I don't believe it. It's such a genius that's able to connect the chapters. And once you understand the connection between the chapters, you understand, obviously, the Perek, and you understand the Hag on a deeper level. Yiratzon, we should be zocheh to the Pesukim, ve'yifrekenu mitzarenu, ki le'olam hasdo, noten lechem lechol basar, ki le'olam hasdo, we should have parnasa b'shefa, b'zchut ha'shemot, that are hinted in that Pasuk as well. And then, of course, hodol el'a shamayim, ki le'olam hasdo, be'zocheh, תשמעו השמיים ותגיד לארץ אמן ואמן.
Thank you, Rabbi.
You're welcome, Rabbi.
Hello, Rabbi.
Shalom. Elliot, good to see you, honey.
Yeah, I lost you. I'll see you. I'll be home tonight.
Baruch haba. Baruch haba. Can't wait.
Thank you.
Bye. See you, gentlemen. Good to see you.